to the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 1. And what else would you preach on here in coming up on Christmas in the month of December in 2014? Book of Luke again. Last week I preached about the prophecy of the coming Christ. And this week, in the time we have, we want to look at the preparation for the coming Christ. Next week, the Sunday before Christmas, we'll look at the presentation of the coming Christ. And then the week after that, I'm still struggling to come up with something that starts with a P. Maybe you could help me out there. But the gist of it, the message after Christmas is, what are you going to do about it again? The fact that, again, that needs to make a difference in our life. And we're coming up on closing off the year of 2014. And as we do that, again, we want that the birth of Christ that we do so celebrate right now makes a difference in our lives. So today, the preparation for the coming Christ. So let's go ahead and look in the book of Luke and take up our reading there in the prophecy of the angel. Luke chapter 1, let me set a little backdrop again, as we have, of course, a certain priest named Zacharias his wife were childless until, again, God heard their prayers and answered with a child, and that child to be born of Zacharias and Elizabeth was, of course, John Baptist. And so as we again look at this announcement, it's going to be part, again, of the preparation for the coming Christ. And I want to go ahead and preach four messages this morning in 20 minutes. I think I could do that. So let's go ahead and begin, and I'll read the first message in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and you follow along. As we look at four prophecies here in preparation for the coming of the Christ child. And remember, prophecy is not predicting the future. Prophecy is when you get a message from the Lord and then you stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord," okay? And boy, if you keep that in mind, again, you'd recognize that when someone asks you, "What are you, a prophet?" you could answer, "Yes, I am," okay? Not that we prophesy the future, although the Word of God has given us the ability to do that, but we all here have the ability to stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord." So watch for that unfolding in each of these messages here, beginning with the words of the angel. You follow along, starting in Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Father, praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for the glorious announcement and the preparation that we see here for the coming of your only begotten Son, the King that's going to set in Zion. We worship him. We pray to him. We worship you again because of your great gift, and pray that you'd accept our worship just now as we would marvel in your words that you've given before us this day. In the name of Christ we pray, Amen, amen. You may be seated as we look again at this message. I want to just, if I could, highlight a few things. I know these are all very familiar scriptures, and I want to put you in remembrance, as it were, to all the things that are told of our Messiah, of our Christ, of our anointed one from God that's born here. And notice here in this announcement for John, we find again some tremendous miracles and some tremendous preparations for the coming of the only begotten Son of God born there in Bethlehem that we celebrate here in the month of December. I think I've already mentioned the fact that I believe Christ was born during Passover time. That's when the Passover lamb was to come, and that's when I believe he did come in the springtime. And the springtime is when the shepherds were with their flocks in the fields by night during lambing season particularly, and that is again the exact time that lines up with the Passover. So I don't really believe in December 25th, but I don't knock it again. So again, we're quite busy celebrating a lot of things in lambing season and the Passover time. And that is, again, the fact that our Passover lamb died on that Passover time. And so right now, as we celebrate this on what used to be the longest night of the year, and the Romans, again, decided that that would be a good time to put a celebration, another celebration, trying to divert from their worship of the sun god a little bit. And so we celebrate here on December the birth of Christ, and we recognize it. Unfortunately, the world don't. They've mentioned in Sunday school the contrasting views. We went down and heard the community choir in Bath sing last night, and I was amazed at the mixture again in the Catholic Church, the mixture of Santa Claus, reindeer, and the songs that were sung by the community college. Just the contrast in the two, that one has nothing to do with the other. And yet, again, we find the world, again, has gone hard after anything except the celebration of God in the flesh. And so what did Jesus say about that? Don't let that surprise you, he said. And again, they're not going to like what you do about your worship of God born in a manger. And so again, as we read these scriptures and we acknowledge again that there was some tremendous preparation here, I want to point out that God still has a prepared people. Look at that. Three little things I like to emphasize in each of these messages. And one of them here is that many, verse 16, many children of Israel shall he turn. This is John the Baptist. This is a preaching of John the Baptist. And he is going to turn many children of Israel to the Lord their God, it says there. And then it says in verse 17, and he, John, shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Notice again that it wasn't the eloquent preaching of John the Baptist that did this. It was the Spirit of God that did this. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus called John the Baptist the greatest preacher that ever was here. And here we acknowledge again that it wasn't his great preaching that did it, praise the Lord. It was the fact that he was filled with the Spirit of God. And two things are going to happen there in preparation. Number one, he's going to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And number two, he is going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that people is not restricted to just Israel. That is, again, the lamb that's going to come and die for the sins of the world. And so, again, notice the difference and the distinction that's given there, that John's preaching is to prepare for the preparation of a people prepared for the Lord. I like that little analogy there. Back up a little bit to verse 15 and notice this. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Ghost? There used to be a holiness movement. That changed to what's called the charismatic movement, which changed to the tongues movement, which thinks they know what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. However, they don't have a clue again. And Benny Hinn's running around smiting people in the head and causing all kinds of miracles and getting all kinds of fame and love offerings. But again, their teaching of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God is completely awry, is completely off track from what the purpose of the Holy Ghost is. And look here, the filling of the Holy Ghost is emphasized here. Let me throw in this kicker first, is that notice in verse 15, you can either be filled with strong drink or you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. The two are not compatible.
Amen.
Let me say that again. The two are not compatible. And so again, I hold to, and it's a rare thing anymore, complete abstinence from alcohol. Complete abstinence, so much so that I usually back away from cooking wines again. I know the alcohol boils away, but avoiding all appearance of evil. And so alcohol, again, is a poison that kills brain cells, and Christians do not need it, period. And also notice here that it interferes with the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And you can see that here in the Nazarite vow that's emphasized. No strong drink for mom here. Because this child is going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, where? Even from the mother's womb. We'll see that again in a little later on in the same chapter here, that did happen. So what did John do to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Hey, he was in the womb. He did no preparation. He didn't do anything. He didn't pray through, all right. He didn't have a week of fast and surrender. He did nothing again to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And boy, again, understand that the filling of the Holy Spirit of God is like that. Now, he does give in measure to us, as it says in the Bible. But boy, understand that there is nothing right now preventing any one of us in this room from being filled with the Holy Ghost of God and experience again a holistic filling of the Spirit of God, except that sometimes we got so many other things filling our lives that there's not room. And so there's some lessons there, but I want to point out here that again, there was preparations for this child because he was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God even from his mother's womb. And so we ought to desire the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We ought to search for and plead for and pursue a filling of the Spirit of God, especially in the day and age that we live in. And so notice again that here is the message again of John the Baptist, and he is going to be one who says, prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And he points forward to the coming Messiah. And I'd like to go ahead and say again that as we again in our life, we come behind the Messiah, we should be pointing back to that Messiah. And we should be none less preacher than John the Baptist was to say again, he said, prepare the way of the Lord. And we need to say, prepare to meet thy Lord again, and be just as much a preacher here and just as much filled as John the Baptist was. We want to be again prophets of the Most High God. Let's look at the next message that's given here. And to get there again, we've got to go through a few events. Notice again that Elizabeth, as we had covered here, and this announcement from the angel, Elizabeth again, what was this angel, by the way?
Gabriel.
This was Gabriel again, and he's listed. And so we find a listing of certain angels that are messengers. Let me give you another word for angel. It's called a messenger. And so an angel is a messenger from God. And again, he does the duties of God, but to mankind, he always comes with a message. He comes with a comforter. If you've heard something of a guardian angel, And I can't deny that. You might have a guardian angel assigned to each one of us. There is enough to go around, praise the Lord. And so again, when we understand that an angel's purpose is to come with a message from God, therefore when he prophesies, he says, "Thus saith the Lord," and that's what he is. And compare that to our own calling again, is to be his messengers. To go to the world and be his witnesses. We have the same calling, same title there. And so the next time you hear someone call you a little angel, what? You've never heard that before? understand that we are to be messengers of the Lord in that sense. In fact, over in Revelation, it talks about the angel to the church of, and it's talking about the messenger from God who says, "Thus saith the Lord to the church." And so it's tied together in this prophecy. Look now, and we have the announcement that Elizabeth is with child. And then in verse 26 it says, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel," here he is again, "was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored." So we're continuing on with the message again, the preparation message, first with John the Baptist, and now here comes Gabriel again on a second mission, a second time that he comes with a message from the Lord, a prophecy from the Lord. The angel came unto her and, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou above women." The Bible doesn't say that, okay? I know the Romans do, but the Bible don't. "Blessed art thou among women." Mary is not exalted above other women. And boy, you need to keep track of that in a lot of the false religion, again, that's going on in this arena. And we'll look at that more in the next message as well. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." So again, when he says to her, "Blessed art thou among women," she recognizes that, hey, this is a different salutation. This is a strange greeting that she's gotten. And notice again a couple things about that. Blessed, what does blessed mean? I know you say that when somebody sneezes. You say, "Bless you," okay? And literally what that means is, may God do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. And theoretically, I'm not much of a doctor. Again, I found out even less of a doctor as I went through this week. Again, when you sneeze, your heart stops again. And your heart skips a beat or pauses, and then it restarts again at a sneeze. And your lungs again collapse and restart at a sneeze. And so there's a whole bunch of things going on. And so it's become customary after somebody sneezes to say, "Bless you," because you're still alive. God restarted everything again, and you're still going. And so if you hear that again, I want you to think immediately that that means, may God do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. And when you say, "Well, bless you," again, that's what you're saying. May God do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. And we're looking for God's blessing. And here, the angel Gabriel says, "Blessed art thou among women." Okay, and so it's an unusual salutation. Verse 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Whew! Boy, let me just stop right here and say, hallelujah. This is everything we preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who He is, the Son of God. This is everything, again, bless you. This is everything that we understand again and rejoice in the fact that He is going to be the only begotten Son of God out of Psalms chapter 2. This day have I begotten thee. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Here is the Messiah born amongst us. And notice the promise goes on that He is the Son of the Highest. He shall be called the Everlasting Father. He is going to sit on the throne of David, literally in the hills of Zion, in the city of Jerusalem that's in such great contest today. God has made some promises about this coming anointed one, verse 33. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God, the Son of Man, the miracle that is present here, the God-man that is born in these verses. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let me just throw this in for free on the way by. Mary could have said, not me. No, I won't do it. God's big on voluntarism. Volunteerism. God won't do things against your will. But boy, He'll bend over backwards when your will aligns with His will. And so notice here again that we aren't little pawns in God's game here again. And nor was Mary. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Look at verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, how far along was this?
6 months.
At least 6 months, okay? You got to figure that as soon as she heard this, at 6 months, she got up and made booked right down again to where Elizabeth was. Mary, as soon as she heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake with a loud voice and said. And so here we have Elizabeth now is going to prophesy. Elizabeth is going to make an announcement of thus saith the Lord. Now when you and I make a prophet, become a prophet and say thus saith the Lord, you better have something again. God's given us a written account. You need to have something where thus saith the Lord. See, God wrote it down. And if you depart from what the complete book of what God wrote down, you want to be very careful again because you're not really prophesying anymore. When you say, thus saith the Lord, understand that He wrote it all down. But here when Elizabeth says, thus saith the Lord, and spoke very loud again, Notice again that she has received a prophecy from God Himself and has speaks by permission of God this message, thus saith the Lord. This is the inspired word of God. Every word that she said is accurate and is from God. And when the Bible says holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God, understand that man is mankind there again. And here's a case where a holy woman, a female, spake as she was moved by the power of God, and again she prophesied. And here's what she said. Watch every word carefully. Blessed art thou, there's that word again, among women. I want you to think about just what I said about being blessed again. And you're blessed when you do, when God does something for you that you cannot do for yourself. We have three little blessings down here in the front row again. And they are blessings because God did something for a woman that she could not do for herself. Every time a woman conceives, there is a blessing of God. The hand of God in procreation is miraculous, and every birth is a miracle. And so again, when it says, blessed art thou among women, understand that all women who have children have received that blessing of God. And it is an impossible thing, but with God, all things are possible. And so here, I would not detract from that she is all the more blessed. That is a visible blessing and a mindful blessing here. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I'd vain again to go into the Catholic chant of this, except to realize again that blessed be the fruit of thy womb. That means again the child that's going to come from her is a blessing, is a miracle. And this is above the miracle again of childbirth. This is a blessing because again, he is the Son of God. And so we have here again another emphasis. And then look at verse 43. And whence is this to me that the mother of my God... don't say that. What is that this to me that the mother of my Christ... doesn't say that, does it? Mary was not the mother of God. Mary was not the mother of Christ. Now that's deep. You got to think about that. Mary was the mother of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the human part of the Christ that was born. And so Mary was the mother of Jesus. And Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one of God. And somehow you just need to keep that straight and be careful with names. You know why you need to be careful with names? Is because God, in the King James Bible and the original transcripts, was very careful with names. And you and I need to be at least that careful again with the names of God. And you watch as you read through your Bible again, you watch the use of the word Jesus. And it speaks of His humanity, His flesh. You watch the words of Lord, it speaks to the fact that He's my owner and I belong to Him. And you watch for the word Christ, again, meaning the Messiah, the Anointed One. Names mean something in the Bible. And that's not true for any modernist translation, because all of them you had to use, again, a defunct manuscript again to do their translation, else they'd not get their copyright. And so if it's a Bible with a copyright on it, put it down that they manipulate around and twist it around the use of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ continually through their translation. And they did that because Alexander, again, Alexandria, Egypt, had come up with documents, again, that twisted the names of Jesus, the names of the Lord, the names of Christ, and put them out. And their defense of that is, again, well, if we say Jesus, you know who we mean. Boy, again, I want to use a Bible that's careful to use God's words, especially when it comes to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so watch here the use of the names very carefully. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And so here again we find that the anointed one of God is to be born. But again, it's the mother, Mary is the mother of Jesus, the human part of God, in this transaction. But here, she calls this child Jesus my Lord. In other words, I belong to Him. He owns me. And there's just some things about, again, the birth of Christ, the miracle of it all, the wonder of it all, that you and I will never comprehend, that God was made flesh and dwelt among us. But boy, don't miss it. Even in these announcements, the careful wording that God has put here is important for all of us. And then verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And that again was the filling of the Spirit of God in the womb of Elizabeth. "And blessed is she that believed, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Blessed is she that believed. Who's that in reference to? Blessed is she that believed. She believed God. And think of what it says about Abraham. "And he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Here we find an account that Mary is the one who believed God, and it was accounted to her for righteousness. She needed to be saved as much as you or I need to be saved. And she is not a deity here in any form. So again, we have that. What a tremendous message again, a prophecy from Elizabeth. Now let's look at the prophecy again from Mary. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary needs a Savior. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, and hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And there you have again the prophecy, the preaching, the message again from Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she proclaims the birth here of the Son of God, even from her womb, and again, what he is to fulfill in the power of God in this prophecy. One more prophecy, and I know I've run out of time. Let's look at it real quickly. Zacharias. After the birth of John, we find that Zacharias is waxed filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And he preaches here in this chapter in verse 68. 67 says, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. And this is speaking of John again, the birth of John this is at. To give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Boy, you can notice two things out of this message. I said I'd give three out of each message. I didn't get to that for time's sake. Two things out of this message. Number one, it's broken into two parts. And that is what the prophet John is going to do for the restoration of Israel, for the children of Israel. And Israel's name before he had it changed was Jacob. Okay. I like to keep tests going on here every once in a while. Okay. So Jacob again had his name changed to Israel. And Israel again is going to be the one who brings forth the prophet of God, the priest of God, and the king of God out of the tribe of Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so, in fulfilling that, notice again the emphasis in that is everything that God is going to do to fulfill every promise that He made to Israel. And let me just go ahead for the sake of completeness, say that again, that God is going to fulfill every one of these promises that He made to Israel. They aren't fulfilled yet.
Amen.
But God is going to restore Israel. God is going to make them a people, His own chosen nation, as it were. And He is going to sit on the throne of David, just like He said. And here we have an expansion of those promises, but if you look at the second part of that, that's what the Son of God is going to do that's born, and He is going to make salvation available to all. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of Israel? No. Taketh away the sin of the world. So see the two parts there. That God still has some promises to redeem Israel, to take them out of their enemies, and to cause again that they will be exalted as a nation. He will do that. I don't care what covenant theology teaches, it's wrong again. And understand again that God has not replaced Israel with Christianity. He is going to fulfill these promises that He's made. We are not the new elect of God. Christianity, again, is another whole means, again, here in God's plan. And God has caused, again, that the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Are you in the way of peace? Praise the Lord. You can be, as we again learn the more to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born in this Christmas celebration. Father, how we praise You and thank You. Thank You for the four messages that we looked at here from the angel, from Elizabeth, from Mary, and from Zacharias. And as we again only begin to understand the wonder of it all, I pray again that You'd cause that we would again be Your prophets this week, that we would say, thus saith the Lord, and again boldly proclaim the coming of Your Son to this earth and our need to call upon Him as Lord and Savior. Father, You've asked us to be Your witnesses. Fill us with Thy Spirit and enable that we could be even in a world that's turned awry and turned crooked. And Father, pray again that you'd be with each witness here this morning. We worship you, we praise you, we love you. Hear our prayer, touch our weak, and we'll ask this again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and sing an invitation song. Number 270 in our songbook is Just As I Am, Without One Plea. And it is an invitation. If God's tugged on your heart about your relationship with your Savior, boy, deal with that during our invitation. But boy, again, let's worship. Let's exalt His name and praise Him again for the miracle of birth that we celebrate even in this month. How do we come to Him? Just as we are. There's nothing we can do. It's got to be done in His only begotten Son. Let's stand and sing Just As I Am. If God's tugged on your heart with a need, bring it to an altar. And let's go ahead and have an invitation this morning. Just as I am.